Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I have to admit that I have times in my life where I really don't want to pray. I don't feel like it. I don't want it. Sometimes I'm maybe discouraged and say, why even pray? Do you go through that? You know, those are difficult times. If we're honest, then we have to admit that there are seasons in our life when we may experience that we don't spend enough time maybe in Scripture, or we feel guilty, or because we feel bored sometimes reading the Word, or it may be that you're reading it constantly and consistently, but yet not getting much out of it. Maybe you feel like, yeah, I'm reading it, but it's just, I'm not getting it. Feels like a chore, you know. Feels like I have to do this. It feels like I'm not connecting. Maybe I do have a devotional every day and I have my quiet time and everything, but I just do it out of guilt because I have to do it. I'm supposed to do it. Everybody expects me to do it, even God. Or maybe we don't because we feel it's wasted time. I think even at that, all of those things that I just said, I think we all have a reason deep, deep, deep inside our hearts, in our souls, to connect with our Creator. I think we are all wired to connect with our Creator. And that in some way, shape, or fashion, there is that longing, that desire from within us. I mean, God created us in His image and likeness, made us like no other being in creation, being able to connect with Him face to face, speak to Him. Now, you may say, well, maybe the elephants talk to God and we just don't understand them. But you know what? When I look in the Bible, in Genesis, it tells me that God came down in the cool of day and spoke to Adam and Eve. That He spoke to them directly. He gave them wisdom. He gave them authority. He gave them everything. It's just, we are different. But yet, God is God. It's difficult to sometimes put all of these things together. How is it that this humongous, huge God, whom we cannot measure or fathom His power and His who He is, and so mysterious, so much greater than us, yet so close, invisible, yet He says to fix our eyes on Him. So I know that we don't connect with God quite in the same way that we connect with other people, but there are a lot of similarities in the way we connect with God than when we connect with a friend or somebody in a coffee shop, you know. But yet, you know, it might be different. It might be difficult, but yet He invites us. He says, come, spend time with me. As if you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, this is Jesus talking to not only His disciples. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and He's talking to a bunch of people. And before this, He's telling them, you know, don't be like the hypocrites. Those people who like to pray in public, you know, those people who like to be seen and known in the courts, those people who like to for everybody else to know what they do and what they say when they give and when they serve and when they whatever. And then He says, but you don't be like that. Don't be like that. You don't be like that? No. Right? We got to add that no at the end like they do around Him. Make sure we understand it. But this is the way He says. Look at verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then He goes on. You know what? Don't go through meaningless repetitions and don't do it. Just, and He gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer, which basically is, I won't take it as the Lord's Prayer. I think it's more like our prayer, right? He gave us that prayer. He says, this is the way you pray. You pray like this, right? The model prayer. So we need to be praying and we need to be in he says, in the quiet, in our personal, lock yourself up in a room, you know. Do you know, apart. And of course, you may not have a room where you can lock yourself up or whatever, but you can take time apart with God. If we want to get to know him, we need to do that. We need to set aside time for him. Problem is, sometimes we don't plan it right. Now, how many of you use an agenda? Well, okay, there's some of you who actually have an agenda and you follow it. Some of you have to-do lists. You have to-do lists? You know, I've found out that when you do a to-do list, you do the list. But when you don't have a to-do list, you don't do the list, right? It just happens to me. How many of you use your reminders on your phone? Oh, my God, those save my life. I even have a reminder on Saturdays that said, go to church tomorrow. And then it comes up in the morning and says, church this morning. Well, what are you laughing, Luis? You're guilty. You're the one who put it on the church calendar, and it comes to my email and my every day on my phone. Worship celebration, 9 a.m. Tomorrow, you go to church. Oh, my God. That's what happens when you let Luisito run your cyber life, right? Yeah. But reminders, you know, to-do lists and things like that. What happens when you use them? You benefit from them. But the problem is that if you're like me, if I don't write stuff down, most likely I will either forget it or do it late. Does that happen to you? When I remember, it's like, and some of you may know me already, that I just, and I have to write it down. I have to put it on schedule. I have to put it on reminders and all that. Why is that? Because it's helped us to commit, right? Once you write stuff down or you put it on your calendar, your agenda, you're more committed to it than if you didn't. Even if you know about it, you feel like you already signed that contract. You're committed, right? You see, so it's time for us to start spending our time with God in the agenda that we know that we got to either write it down or whatever, or get a reminder, whatever it takes. It takes discipline and it takes effort, right? Because it comes a time when the reminders pop up and you go like, yeah, I know. Ooh! And then it won't, if I don't snooze it, I will lose it, right? I will later forget about it. Does that happen to you? Oh my God, these phones make you dumb. I remember when I used to know everybody's phone number by heart. Everybody would call me, Pastor, you know something. Yeah, I give it to them right there and then. Ask me my daughter's phone number. I might get it right. I might not. This is hard. Anyway, so it takes discipline. It takes effort for us to spend time with God in order to get to know him, in order to benefit from it. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 29, in verse 13, God invites us. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you search me with all of your heart. If you search for me with all of your heart, trust me, you'll find me. You know, it's like a game of hide and seek. He's hiding, but he's not hiding. You know, it's like he's hiding in a place where he knows you can find him. Maybe because he not just wants you to find him, he wants to take you to his secret place, his hiding, and so that you stay with him there, right? It's amazing. You see, how many of you want to see prosperity in your life? Amen. I do. How many of you want to see, you know, a fruitful life? You live a fruitful life. Yeah, me too. How many of you would like to live abundantly and healthy? Hallelujah. Yes, we all do. You know what? All of that is possible. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. Let's go to Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is the person. Now, check this out. It's talking about, you know, man. Man don't follow man. Men don't, you know, do the wrong thing. But men that delight in the law of the Lord and in his law, he meditates day and night. Okay, so I rejoice in the word of God. I rejoice in day and night. I get into a relationship with him. And then it says, look at what happens when I do that. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Man, that's a great thing. But why is it that I get stuck? Why is it that my leaves wither? Why is it that my leaves fall? Why is it that my branches are so weak? Maybe because I'm planting myself away from the streams of water, the streams of the Word of God. But not only that, look at Psalm 37 in verses 4 and 5. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. Yes. So there's plenty of benefits to reap and fruit. But how do I spend time with Him? What do I do? Why should I do this? Why is it so important? I already gave you some things, but let's go in there and see. Because it's not just about gaining knowledge. You know, so many people go into the Bible, and I do this sometimes. I'm guilty. Sometimes I go into the Word just for the sake of going to the Word and not going to God. You get that? Sometimes I'm seeking the Word, but I'm not seeking His heart. It's just weird, right? It's a mystery, but let's get to know Him. Now, let's look at a couple of things that I want to give you today. First of all, acknowledge His presence. The reason why we need to spend time with God is so that we acknowledge His presence. You see, how many people have you heard that have come to church and they don't come back, and when you call them or whatever, they said, well, nobody paid attention to me. No one ever said hello. Have you ever heard anybody do that? I've done that. As a matter of fact, when I first came to New Orleans, I visited 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 churches. And there was one of them that I did not go back because I filled out a welcome card because they said, fill this out. And I filled it out and it said, do you need prayer? Yes. Would you like the pastor to visit you? Yes. Would you like for us to communicate with you? Yes, yes, yes. Put it on the plate. Never got a phone call. Never, ever, ever, ever. Never got a visit. Now, the pastor is my good friend now. As a matter of fact, they get us confused. Gonzalo Rodriguez from Good Shepherd. And I told him, you know why I didn't come to the church? Because God told me not to. Because you didn't visit me. You didn't call me. You didn't come to me. But then the pastor from another church, I went to visit that Sunday. And Monday he was at my house. I'm like, dude, that quick. So I didn't join his church. He's a good friend of mine, David Lema. I love him. Like, he's an amazing guy. But no, God had plans, you know. But you know, some people may leave church because nobody said hello or whatever. You know, now, in order for you to make that person feel good, in order for you to get to know the person, you have to acknowledge their presence. Once you acknowledge somebody's presence, then it opens the door for you to know them and for them to know you. You see, the thing is, the goal is spending time together acknowledges His presence. And you see, He is everywhere. You know God is everywhere, right? Some people don't believe it, but God is in hell. He runs hell. The devil doesn't run hell. God's running it. The devil's not in hell yet. But God runs it. Nobody else does. So He's everywhere. But sometimes we're not aware of His presence. That's what I'm talking about. Because we don't take the time to acknowledge His presence, right? And we're going to learn a little bit more about that as we get through this campaign starting in February. You're going to love it. So the more time you spend with Him, the more aware you are of His presence. The more time you spend with Him, the more aware you are of His presence. When you do an inventory of your time, I want you to think, what consumes your time? What consumes you? Yeah, maybe the obligations of work and chores and this and that, and that's okay. Why? Because you have to, right? But let's talk about the time that you decide what to do with it. The time that you have a choice on what to do with it. What do you do? Do you also dedicate it to more responsibilities and more chores and more work and more things? Or do you just rest? Do you just stay quiet? Do you just not talk to anybody? Do you spend it with your family? What do you do with that time? Whatever time you have free. And maybe you say, well, I don't have any free time. Well, that could be your fault too. You know what I mean? Either way. So the awareness of His presence. And we're talking about connecting with Jesus, and that required not just time, but quality time. When you want to connect with somebody, I don't know, if you're a husband, you probably have heard this before. I want quality time. Have you ever heard that? Don't look at her. Because if you look at her, she's going to tell you, I need quality time, not just time, quality time. You know how many times I heard that? Man, don't be fighting up in here, okay? Take it easy back there. Just kidding, right? Everybody looking at each other like, right? So the awareness of his presence is about connecting with him, right? And we can do that. We can seek him. Remember, he says, seek me and you will find me. All right, he's made himself available. The awareness of his presence should change your essence, you know? It should just change you. Just knowing that God is able, that God is available, and that he's there and willing to meet you, that just should just change your attitude. To start with, the awareness of his presence should change your essence. Getting to know God will help you get to know yourself better. He knows you so much. And Psalm 139 says that he made you. In your mother's womb, he made you with his own hands, it says. He's like, the word that is used there is like crochet, knitting, and stuff like that. That's how he made you, intricately, personally. And you see, when you get to know him, at least to getting to know yourself better, and when you get to know yourself better, your true self, then it places you in a position of transformation, of change. You'll be more willing to accept God's hand upon you to change you. You see, because what you're going to get from him is love, grace, and mercy. See, when you place yourself in that position, when you seek him, look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Love this, verse 2. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So, you see, you can get close to him and he'll be there for you. It's through knowing his love that you experience his grace and mercy. And also you experience the changes and the transformation you need in your life. He is powerful to do that. I want you to look at an instance in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 6, this is Isaiah, the prophet. King Uzziah had passed away. And you know, there was mourning, so they went to the temple. Now, check this out. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Oh, my God. This is like Isaiah's in the temple praying, and all of a sudden he sees his vision of the Lord sitting on the throne, and his train fills the temple. And I always like to remember this. The longer the train, the more powerful the king is. And it says that his train is filling the temple. Now, you know the train, you know, the long thing behind his robe and stuff. You know, it's not like, woo, woo, train, right? No, he's not. But anyway, seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Now, check this out. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold trembled. And the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, woe is me. Woe. This is Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am ruined. Basically, I am dead. I am dead meat is what he's saying. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This is the idea of I am a sinner, and God has confronted me face to face. And if God shows himself to me, I'm dead because I'm a sinner. There's no way. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he has taken from the altar with tongues. And check this out. Remember that we were just singing, take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. This is Isaiah. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Wow. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Talk about transformation. First of all, he was in prayer. First of all, Isaiah was isolated in prayer with the Lord. He acknowledged his presence. God manifests himself, and he sees his majesty and his greatness. So then once he sees God for who he is, then he says, whoa, it's me. Remember I told you, the more you acknowledge God's presence, the more you even get to know yourself. You acknowledge yourself. And then he acknowledged himself in his condition. And then God extends his grace and mercy to him and says, you know what? I forgive you. And then after he forgives him, God says, let me tell you what my will is. My will is that somebody will go and tell the news. And then Isaiah says, well, send me. You see the progression there? When you acknowledge his presence, things like that can happen to you and me. It will change our essence and our direction too. Number two, getting to know him. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. It's okay to know his will. It's okay to know about him and stuff, but in his story, but it's about the knowing him personally. The goal of spending time together with God is to know God. But it takes time to know God. It takes time. The more time you spend with him, the more you're going to get to know him. Okay, we all know that. But start with a little bit at least, right? And don't start with much and then decrease. A lot of people get in there, and you see, especially when New Year starts, and they're like, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to spend an hour with God every morning. And they start an hour, the next day 45 minutes, next thing you know they're spending 3 minutes, and they're spending it asking for forgiveness for not spending an hour with him. Right? No. Start with 3 minutes. Maybe you'll get to an hour. You see what I mean? It's about increasing the time with him, not decreasing. As a matter of fact, it's about you decreasing and him increasing in your life. Like John said, John the Baptist in chapter 3, verse 30 of the book of John says, I must what? Decrease. But he must increase. I said it backwards. He must increase. When he increases in my life, then I decrease. You see, it takes also listening. Listen, Linda. Linda, listen, right? It's amazing. Linda, listen. Listen, Linda. It's about listening. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Mary and Martha, the two sisters. Martha's all upset. Why? Because Mary's doing something that Martha should have been doing. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening. Listen, Mary. Listen, Martha. Listening to his word. We talk too much and we don't listen enough, right? Now you tell me, what can you learn about somebody if you're talking to them the whole time? You can't learn anything from them if you don't let them speak to you. But at the same time, have you ever met somebody who doesn't speak much? Right? These quiet people that you're like, I don't know what their intentions are, just in case. It's like, I don't know what's going on with that person, right? Now, why is it that you feel maybe threatened or maybe you feel weird around people who may not say much? Because you don't know what to expect from them, right? Why? Because you don't know them. Why? Because they don't talk. But guess what? God does speak. But you have to allow yourself to be still and quiet and listen to him. If you do that, you'll get to know him better, right? You see, you have to give God the opportunity to reveal himself to you. If you don't do that, you're not going to get to know him any deeper than you are knowing him right now. And the funny thing is, and the great thing is, that God does want to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to give him some time because he wants to give you all of his time, all of his attention. And if you acknowledge him, you'll know him intimately. Spending time with Jesus. And while you're doing that, don't be scared to be silent. Does silence make you uncomfortable? Does it make you feel weird? This is what happens when Luisito runs your cyber life and your electronic or whatever life, and I don't know. This is not right. But anyway, I'm so glad we don't have cameras. Thank you, Luis. But you see, don't be scared of silence. It is so hard, right? The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. What's one of the hardest things to do for us is to be still and quiet. Even right now, as I'm preaching, some of you are not so quiet inside and thinking about 20,000 things
outside of the realm of this church. Because you got things to do, places to go, people to meet. Amen, hallelujah. I'm a busy person for Jesus, amen. And that's the problem. We don't slow down. And we're going to talk about that during campaign two. Because we need to start learning to contemplate him, sitting still, being quiet, in silence, and listening to him. As a matter of fact, I want to give you a heads up. During the campaign, it is expected of each and every one of us to spend 8 minutes in total silence before God every day, minimum. You're like, 8 minutes is nothing. Go ahead and try it. Let's do that right now. 8 minutes. I got the clock over there. No, but we'll do it in smaller increments. You'll be doing your devotional throughout the campaign, and we'll give you the material, and we expect you to take 2 minutes of silence. Then read and pray, and then 2 minutes of silence again in the morning. And then you do that again in the evening, afternoon, whatever you pick. But that'll make it a total of 8 minutes of your day, just quiet, sitting there quiet, trying to listen to God. And trust me, you try 1 minute right now, you'll be going pew, 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 20,000 directions until you master that, right? So it takes time. It takes listening to know God. Let's keep going, because if not, I'm never going to finish. God wants to reveal his character, his desires, and his will for your life. You see, he doesn't just want you to know something about him or what he does. He wants you to know his character. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him personally. Once again, we keep reiterating that. And one of the things that happens when we give God time, and we give him quality time, and we're still, and we try to listen to him, we will learn, we will meet, we will know more about him, his character. You become invaded by these thoughts of God all of a sudden, that he is good, he is faithful, he is truthful, he is trustworthy, he is holy, he is righteous, he is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, omniscient, he is sovereign, he is perfect, generous, compassionate, loving, patient, kind, and he never changes. All of a sudden, this is all flowing out of God's character. All of a sudden, you get to see all that things. And you also get to know his desires. You know what God's desire is for you? John chapter 10 and verse 10, the second part of that verse says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The first part is pretty nasty. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I came for them to have life and have it abundantly. That is his desire for you, abundant life. What is his will? You not only get to know his character, you get to know his desires, you get to know his will. What is his will? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Giving you meaning in life. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. See, God has a will. God has a purpose for you. God already has a plan. God already knows what he wants you to do. God already has a will for your life. And that gives you meaning when you live in his will. And if I want to sum up God's will in a sentence, would be love your neighbor and bless your neighbor. You know, love them, bless them. Just love people and bless them. You got to get to know his will. But God is more concerned with you having intimacy with him and getting to know him than just knowing what he wants. See, anybody can tell you what they want, but another thing is getting to know them personally. And God wants us to obey, right? Because if we know his will, then it's our duty to be obedient. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Obey me. Obey my commandments. Keep my commandments. Every time you're obedient, you're showing God that you what? That you love him. Every time. Obedience is an expression of love. That's how you get to know him. Now, not only to know him, but also to enjoy him. Let's think about this for a second. Enjoy him. Oh, my God. There are so many Christians walking out there who want to serve him, who want to follow him, and want to do everything, but they see Christianity as a total sacrifice. Praise the Lord. It is, because you need to sacrifice self. But they seem to never enjoy it. And the Christian life is to be enjoyed. A life that is abundant is a life that should be enjoyed. Why is it? Sometimes we go in too fast, too busy. So we need to slow down to grow fond with God, you know, to go deeper in our relationship with Him. Sometimes we're just too busy in the hustle and bustle. We got too many things on our mind. Read about the lady who came home in a hurry. And when she got there, she went like the keys. And she couldn't find the keys to enter her house. And she couldn't find the keys. She couldn't find the keys anywhere. She's looking everywhere. She's just desperate, doesn't know what to do. She sees one of the neighbors and says, "Excuse me, can I borrow your keys? Maybe your keys will fit in here. Somehow I need a key to get into this house. I need to get in because I got to get something and go." And the neighbor says, "Here, you got my keys, but I don't think it's going to work." She tried and tried. She tried the neighbor's keys. She tried another neighbor's keys. Till finally one of the neighbors says, "What are you trying to do? I'm trying to get in there, but I don't have a key." And you know what he said? "Have you tried the doorknob?" And she went, "Wow. Not only I forgot the keys, I forgot I left it open." Did that happen to you? We'll make an appointment. It's okay. No, I tell you what. It happens to us. We get too busy sometimes and we miss it, right? You see, but this is a good illustration sometimes about how anxious of a soul one can be. We could be so anxious in our desire to approach God, and we're standing outside and we have all these fears and we have all these worries and everything else. And it seems like everything is locked up and we can't get to God, but God is saying, "Hey, you don't need a key. The door's open. Just come in." Remember earlier, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16? Come confidently to the throne of grace. Why? Because it's open. You can come. He is inviting you. You see, not only the door's unlocked, the door is wide open, and He's actually inviting us. But we need to slow down. Don't spend time in His Word without spending time with Him. I've said a little bit about this earlier, but it's amazing. Sometimes we spend time in the Word, but don't spend time with Him. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say, but look at John chapter 5, verse 37. John chapter 5, verse 37 through 40 says, "And the Father who sent me, He has testified." He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to these religious people who do all the things right in the temple. Check it out. "He has testified of me. You have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form. You do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe Him who sent me. Now, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." You see that? You go to the scripture, but you don't come to me. It's like you're trying to separate God from the scripture. It's like, this is okay, I'm going to go to this like a magic thing. If I read it and I pray, everything's going to be all right. But we put God aside, and God's like, "Wait a second, I want to go with you. Come and meet me, meet my heart, meet me personally." You see, the Pharisees' delight was not in God Himself. The Pharisees' delight was in their ability to know the Scripture. And you know what? Jesus was so awesome. He used scripture. Of course, He used the Old Testament. And He used the stories of the Old Testament. He used the present. He used everything. And even in the Last Supper, He used a piece of bread from a party. They were having a feast, right? Jesus was a man of the people, and He went to parties with sinners. He went everywhere. Now, be careful with that. Pastor said we can go party with sinners. That's a... come on. You know the context here, right? Jesus shows up and He wants to be known as the Savior, right? And one of the ways that you can get to know people is spending time over a meal, right? Don't we love that? Yeah, we love it. Spending a meal, going to, you know,
just eating together, right? It's just something about it and to share. But imagine you're having a meal with somebody and that person is so engulfed in eating everything that's on their plate and never talk to you throughout the meal, right? One of the best meals you have is when you realize you're not eating enough because you're talking too much on the table, right? That's when you know that you're really having a meal together. When you're like, no, 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 go ahead and eat, I'm sorry. You know, that's when you know you're having a meal because you're not just eating, you're sharing. And Jesus did that with his disciples. And one of the most beautiful moments of the disciples' life, Jesus took a piece of bread and took some wine. And with food, he illustrated who he was. You know, over a meal. And then, you know what? Unfortunately, so many churches have made it about the bread and the juice or the bread and the wine. When Jesus was not making it about the bread and the wine, it's about the one who makes the bread and the wine. It's about himself. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what he was telling them. I'm going to die. I am the bread. I am the life. I am the resurrection. It was all about I am about him. The problem is when we focus ourselves on the bread, on the things, and we don't focus on the one who gives us all things, let's not be like the Pharisees. Let's spend time in the word, but let's spend time with him. And these are some questions at the end that I need to ask myself. Number one, what is the most important thing in my life or in your life? Think about it. Maybe you know the answer. Personally, how do you answer that? Maybe you say, well, the most important thing in my life is my relationship to Jesus. Well, great. Congratulations. Then if that's the most important thing in your life, then why not give it the most out of your life? Second question, can you love God without knowing God? No, of course not. You cannot love God unless you know God. You know, we see all these celebrities that put their lives on reality shows, and you get to know so much junk about them, yet if it sells, they'll have it. But if it doesn't, they'll take it away, right? Take it off the air. But all of that stuff mostly is choreographed so that you get interested in all the hypocrisies and lies, and you think you know them. And they're laughing their way to the bank because you watch them. God is not like that, of course. And you may think you know some of these people. You don't know them. But God can be known. You may not have access to some of these people, but God gives you access to him. Can you know God without spending time with God? Of course not. Unless you spend time with him. The Bible says that we have to seek him to know him. But he is ready to be found. Did you know God wants to spend all of his time with you? This is the last question, and this is where I close. God wants to spend all of his time with you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Check this out. At the end of it all, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Now, tabernacle means dwelling, the dwelling of God, the inhabitants of God, where he lives, or what? His presence. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them forever. This is what God wants, to be with you, to commune with you, to dwell within you and with you. It is clear from the beginning, because from the beginning he came to the garden to visit Adam and Eve. And now at the end he wants us to visit his perfect garden in heaven and stay with him. You see, and the fact that he would sacrifice his only begotten son so that we may have access to this beautiful presence of himself, that his desire is to be with us, that he sent his son so that we may be with him for eternity. Now the question is, how many of us look forward to spending eternity with God? if you are, if that's your desire, if you would like to spend eternity with God, start spending time with Him now.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.